Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
can be confirmed. To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse you. Know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has blessed us and allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is truth. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what I'm going to do. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio. 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and he is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but he is the savior of the world. And we're talking about and discussing this day, signs of the last days. And one of the signs that we spoke about yesterday is one of the signs the Creator said he would do in the last days. And that is seeing the prophet Elijah. And let us read that so we can see the sign that the Creator spoke about. And you'll read this in the book of Malachi. Malachi, the fourth chapter. Starting at the fourth verse, and this is what it says. Remember ye the law of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yah. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And yes, that's what the Creator would do if the crooked things is not made straight. If the father's heart is not with their children, and the children's hearts are not with their fathers. And of course, there's only one community that has this problem. All the other communities on the earth don't have a problem with fathers abandoning their families, abandoning their children. What community has that problem? I know we got a little message about some Jewish people paying 75% of their money to their wives. But what you think the black man paying his women, the mother of his children. Nothing. They're getting nothing at all. They're not getting no support. They're not getting, they're not be, helping raise the children. And they're not taking care of the family. And look at the children as a result. The children have no regard for their fathers. All you got to do is look at a lot of these famous players that come out and they get a chance to interview. You see, they don't interview the nobodies. They don't interview the poor people, the people who can tell them about their struggles in life for real. No, they interview the famous faces. And you know what these people say? If they seen their father today, they will do such and such and such. No respect, no reverence, no regard, no honor whatsoever. Now, somebody said, well, can you blame them? Their father abandoned them. Yes, I still blame them. I blame the children because they allow their mothers to paint a bad picture of men. And now, once you begin to start disrespecting your own father, what you think they're going to feel about other men? Why do you think a lot of these children don't do good in school? Because they have no honor and regard and respect for authority, for adults, for teachers, for police officers, or for anybody for that matter. Why? Because they don't even have no respect for their own parents. Now, do you see why this is a sign of the last days? And we also going to talk about the return of David in the last days. I know a lot of people think he's just going to be in Jerusalem sitting on a throne waiting till all the mess and all the fire and all the smoke settles, and then we go home while he's sitting on the throne, and they couldn't be further from the truth. I'm going to show you the works of David in the last days too. And why? Because it's also a sign of the last days. But no, we would rather listen to Donald Gump talking about what this deal that he's not going to honor with the Iranians. America has never honored no deal. That ain't no news. They never honored no deal at all. Every deal that they have wrote on a piece of paper, they broke. Every last single one of them. America has no honor. And yes, I can say they don't have no honor. And I'm not afraid to say they don't have no honor. Because every deal they have broken. It is, our ancestors supposed to got 40 acres and a mule. Do you think they got that? No. Just remember, folks, if your freedom and your liberty can be written by a pen, it also can be erased by a pen. All they have to do is scratch it out, put some white out on it, and white it out. And most of the deals that they have wrote with other people, with other partners, that's exactly what they have done. They either wiped it out or shredded it, but not so with the Most High. I want you to see the signs of the last days. Now, we were speaking about Elijah, and I want to finish with Elijah the prophet, because we get a lot of questions about who is Elijah. When would Elijah show himself? We have a lot of confusion about this prophet. To the extent the New Testament teaches that John the Baptist was Elijah, which is a total lie. As a matter of fact, the New Testament is a book of lies. It's a book of lies. The only truth in the New Testament is to steer you right to a lie. But before you can analyze who Elijah is and when Elijah will return, whether he's been here, whether he's here now, or whether he will be in the near future, you must know the man Elijah. And most people don't know him. They don't know what type of prophet this man really is. All the prophets are different. They're not the same. They're very different. And you got to know the type of prophet he was and the various and the message that he brought. And then you can understand why Yahweh would use him as the instrument to bring about a father and a son, a father and his children, a father and his family reuniting. So let's go, let's get into his life as a prophet. The first thing Yahweh will do with this prophet is in the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Watch what it says in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And I want you to analyze the very first thing Yahweh will do with him. And I want you to see the great wonder, the great miracle. See, Yahweh is the one to work miracles. So every Israelite really should be praying for wonders and miracles. And that Yahweh will work a miracle and a wonder in their life. Because this is what Yahweh do. He work miracles. He makes a way out. And watch what Yahweh do for Elijah. In 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, the first verse. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as Yahweh Elohim of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Here it is. This prophet just stopped the rain. Stopped the rain. Stopped even the dew. Dew is that little stuff that falls on the ground. And you wake up in the morning, even if it don't rain, the grass and the trees and the leaves and the earth still get their food, even though there's no rain, because they have the dew of heaven. But Elijah said he's going to stop all the rain and the dew these years. And the word of Yah came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan, and it shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of Yah. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So the first wonder, miracle you even see with this great prophet is a raven feeding him bread and flesh every evening and every morning. And this is a great miracle. But what is the message behind this? Yahweh is always trying to show the various kings of the earth, the various rulers in the earth who ruleth in the kingdom of men. And today, the rulers in the various kings and presidents and princes today, they don't respect it. They don't acknowledge it. Nor do they care. But they're going to care. But this Ahab, there was none like Ahab who were wickedness like no other king of Israel. And here Yahweh was showing his prophet that he is the one that provide for us. And Elijah didn't have to go hunting. He didn't have to go fishing. He didn't have to plant nothing. A little raven came and fed him. And that was the first miracle of his life. But watch the second one. A verse. And the word of Yah came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, first he had a raven feeding. Now, he sent Elijah to this widow woman, number two. This is the second miracle that's about to happen. And if we know anything about a widow, the scriptures teach us that we're supposed to take care of the widow and the fatherless. But he told Elijah to go to this widow, who we generally would take care of, to take care of him. And look what happens. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering her sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now remember, there's a famine. Continue reading. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as Yah, thy Elohim liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus says Yah Elohim of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that Yahweh sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of Yah, which he spake by Elijah. So here's miracle number two. The first miracle, Yahweh will have this raven feed Elijah bread and flesh. Because it's Yahweh who ruleth in the kingdom of man. Yahweh is our king. Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. And it is Yahweh who will save us. And this is the first thing we got to know about Yahweh. And this is the message that the prophet wanted us to know. This is the message that Yahweh taught his prophet. He is the one that provides. And then number two, here it is. He sent him to a widow woman to feed him, to take care of him. And she, all she had was little. But Yahweh wanted them to know that there is nothing too hard for Yahweh. Not only Yahweh will provide, but he will provide from heaven. And here it is, this meal that should have been gone the first time, and this oil that should have been dried up, lasted to infinity. But Yahweh didn't stop there. Let's see the third miracle that will happen with this great prophet. The 17th verse. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. In other words, he died. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of Elohim? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up into a loft where he abode, and he laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto Yahweh and said, O Yahweh Elohim, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto Yahweh and said, O Yahweh Elohim, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And Yahweh heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of Elohim, and that the word of Yah is in thy mouth. In thy mouth is the truth. Here it is. She might have had reservations before, even though she seen a miracle right before this. You might get a miracle in your life, but you might think it's just happen chance. It's a coincidence. This is not real. But here Yahweh showed her at this third miracle with the prophet Elijah, no, this thing is real. So real, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh Elohim in vain. She knew that this was a man of Elohim and that the truth was in his mouth. But Yahweh would not stop there. He didn't just do one miracle, two miracles, three miracles with this prophet. Watch the fourth miracle that he would do with this prophet. And you'll read it in the 18th chapter, 1 Kings 18th chapter. And watch what it says. We're going to start so you can understand what this is saying. Let's start at the first verse. And it came to pass after many days that the word of Yah came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared Yah greatly, for it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yahweh, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and did them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Peradventure we find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou my master, Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy master, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I seen that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As Yada Elohim liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my master have not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy master, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the spirit of Yah shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so will I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee. He shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear Yada from my youth. Was it not told my masters what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of Yahweh? How I hid 100 men of Yahweh prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy master, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as Yahweh of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And I want you to see the fourth miracle. You're gonna recognize this fourth miracle. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of the deity 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab went unto all the children of Israel, gather the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? And this is the question that we all have to ask ourselves. How long halt ye between two opinions? We don't have to be between two opinions. All we got to do is sit down and make the crooked things straight. Only time brothers want to sit down and talk about the word is when they got an audience, so they can sound good to them, look good to them, get some claps, get some applause, get some arousing. But sit down at the table with just brothers talking about this word to see if you can prove the things that you believe and show the things that you teach. Without no cameras and lights and action, this is what we want you to do. How long hold you between two opinions? If Yah be Elohim, follow him. But if the deity, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I alone remain a prophet of Yah. But the deity prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on a wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on a wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of Yahweh. And Elohim that answer by fire, let him be Elohim. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So here they was bold, and they was up for the challenge. And Elijah said unto the prophets of the deity, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your deities, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given to them, dressed it, and called upon the name of the deity from morning even unto noon, saying, deity, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a deity. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancet, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Yaakov, unto whom the word of Yah came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of Yahweh. And he made a trench about the altar as great as wood contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and lay him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art Elohim in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Yahweh. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art Yahweh Elohim, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of Yahweh fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, and the stones and the dust and looked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yahweh, he is the Elohim. Yahweh, he is our Elohim. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of the deity, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. So what was going on? What was this challenge about? And what sign was this? This was the fourth sign. Remember, the first sign was the raven feeding Elijah bread in the morning, flesh in the evening. The second sign is when he was sent to the widow, who fed him with bread and oil, where the meal didn't waste at all, nor did the oil waste. And all she started with was very little. The third sign that Yahweh would do with Elijah, in other words, every sign he's showing that he is the one that provides, and man don't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yah does man live. He's showing all this through this great prophet. Here it is, her son fell sick. And Elijah would stretch upon him, pray to Yahweh, stretch upon him three times. And Yahweh revived him. When will you believe in the wonder and the miracles of Yahweh? All you have to do is humble yourself to Yahweh. Let him be your king. Let him be your judge. Let him be your lawgiver. For he is your only savior. This is what you got to know in the last days. What would be the fourth sign? And what do the fourth represent? Don't the fourth represent Yahweh's praise? Yahweh say, my praise, my glory, shall I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And here it is. They got this false idol, this graven image that tried to take Yahweh's praise. And Yahweh will have none of it. And that day, Yahweh got his glory and Yahweh got his praise. But Yahweh didn't stop there. What will be the fifth sign that Yahweh would do with this great prophet? Well, let us see. Still in this 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and watch what will happen. The 41st verse. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And did not Yahweh say the fifth is his increase? So Ahaz went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And watch what he tell him. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of Yah was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That was the fifth sign when Yahweh brought the increase and the abundance of rain, for there was a famine for years until that day. But Yahweh would not stop there. What would be the sixth sign that he would do with this great prophet? Well, right before we see the sixth sign, look what happened to Jezebel, Ahab's wife. 1 Kings 19:1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the deity do to me and more also, if I may not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Yehuda, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, because he's been going through all this trials and tribulations. He just wanted to die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Yah, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, in other words, he did like Jonah. He just fled and just wanted to die. Behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of Yah came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of Elohim. Now, I'm about to show you the sixth miracle that he will do. But watch what happens in the ninth verse. And he came there into a cave, lost there, and behold, the word of Yah came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for Yahweh Elohim of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yah. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, saying, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for Yah Elohim of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And Yahweh said unto him, go. Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Yaphat, Abel Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto the deity, every mouth which have not kissed him. This is what will be done. And what did Elijah do? First of all he had was a little cake to eat, little gruels of water to drink, and in that, he had to go 40 days and 40 nights. And after the 40 days and 40 nights, and he was in the cave, he was told to anoint two kings, one of Israel and one of Syria. Who anointed the king of Syria? Why would a prophet of Yahweh anoint a king of another place? Because Yahweh is the one that ruleth in the kingdom of men. This is what Yahweh is constantly, consistently trying to show us. He is the one that rules. And since he is the one that rules, if he wants us to eat, he will send rain and let us grow food and give us water to drink. But if he don't, he will send a famine and drop everything. Yahweh is the one that setteth up, and Yahweh is the one that putteth down, as he did the king of Syria, the king of Israel, and anointed a prophet in Elijah's stead. This was the sixth wonder. And you're about to see what the seventh wonder is all about. And you'll read it in 2 Kings. Let us turn there. Second Kings, the second chapter, starting at the very first verse. Well, let's make that Second Kings the first chapter, the very first verse. And pay close attention to this seventh sign, because this is something that oftentimes we fall prey to. And watch what it says. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, now watch what this king of Israel would do, Ahaziah. Go inquire of the deity of Ekron whether I shall recover of this disease. You see this? This is like us running to a doctor to see if the doctor will recover us. But watch what happened in the third verse. But the angel of Yahweh said to Elijah, the Tishbite. Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not an Elohim in Israel that ye go to inquire the deity of Ekron? Now, therefore, thus says Yahweh, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus says Yah Elohim, is it not because there is not an Elohim in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of the deity of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you? And they told you these words. And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. And look what the king do then. He didn't trust in Yahweh, but now he want to send these same men to back to Elijah. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of the hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of Elohim, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of Elohim, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of Elohim, thus have the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of Elohim, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of Elohim came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. In other words, how many people have been consumed thus far? You got to keep count. It's real important. And the third captain of the 50 went up, came, fell on his knees before Elijah, and besought him, and said unto him, O man of Elohim, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up two captains of the former 50s with the 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of Yahweh said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus said Yah, for much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of the deity of Ekron, is it not because there is no Elohim in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off the bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. So he died according to the word of Yahweh, which Elijah has spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And here it is. He died in the second year, and 200 men were slain just because they didn't inquire of Yahweh. And what do the second represent? Don't it represent Yahweh's name? And for some strange reason, here today, we don't recognize our messengers today. We have all kind of various books that our people have been led to believe in. And they bring these various different books, the New Testament, the Quran, the Book of the Dead, Book of Jubilees, Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, all these various books. And all these books take you away from the Most High. None of them, and I mean none of them, bring you to the Most High. And with these books are deceit and religion. But Yahweh, in his great mercy, for his mercy endure forever, he sent a messenger on this earth during our lifetime and tore up all these books. And there's only one who would do such a thing. And he debated all the various scholars and experts and learned men of these books as Elijah, the prophet, did with the deities of Baal. And this messenger of Yahweh destroyed them. Not only these books, but also their religions. It was only one book standing, one word standing. And that was Yah's word. And here it is today. We will inquire of other books to learn the truth. When Yahweh only gave us one book, one word, one law, one way that we should follow? Did not the scripture say, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read? Is it not one book to have the one law, the one ordinance, and the one way for the homeborn and the stranger? It is not us that should go to these other books, but it is the other people that should be inquired of Yahweh through his word. Now, don't you see? And yes, this messenger was Moray Elisha Israel, who's continually destroying the various religions like no other. The books like no other. And the teachers of these religions like no other. Now you can see why Elijah did what he did. And here it is, at the seventh sign, which means to be blessed, sanctified, to bring to a close and end. This king, Ahaziah, will take his servants, send them to somebody else to inquire about his own life. The Creator's word is our life and the length of our days. When Yahweh himself is our life and the length of our days. Is not this what the very Elijah himself, his message is all about? What do you think Elijah means? Elijah means Yahweh is Elohim. Elohim is Yahweh. This is what his name means. And this is what, in all his miracles, he will show and demonstrate. And what would be next? The eighth miracle. And you read about this eighth miracle in 2 Kings, the second chapter. And look what happens. The very first verse. And it came to pass when Yahweh would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for Yahweh sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as Yahweh liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And of course, the prophet Elisha was not about to leave Elijah, because he knew Elijah would be taken up to heaven by whirlwind. He would not die like other men. He would not be brought to his demise. He would not consume in the grave. So they went down to Bethel, not so they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that Yahweh will take away thy masters from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for Yahweh hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as Yahweh liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that Yahweh will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered and said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for Yahweh has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as Yahweh liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee,
let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and told, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Y'all see this eighth wonder? What will happen unto Elijah? How he will be taken up? This great miracle. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is Yahweh Elohim of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted here and there, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah do rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of Yahweh have taken him up, cast him upon some mountain, or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not sin. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, sin. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? In other words, he knew that Elijah would not be found on no mountain. He knew Elijah would not be found in some trees. He knew Elijah was not in no tornado. But it was yet the whirlwind of Yahweh taking him up, but leaving Elisha with his spirit. They wonder that Yahweh will work a miracle with this prophet. And we got to understand. See, if you understand the message in which the prophet Elijah was bringing in the name of Yahweh and showing the works in the name of Yahweh and how Yahweh will work wonders in the heaven and the earth, and how Yahweh will provide. And there is none beside, there is none like, there is none that can be compared unto Yahweh. From the beginning, Yahweh will show through this prophet, I will provide for you. I will feed for you. From the beginning, I will even have the widow who has nothing feed you as long as I need her to. For Yahweh, he is the one that blesses and curse. He is the one that heals and wounds. He is the one that kills and make alive. And there is no Savior other than Him. It's nothing for Yahweh to save a widow woman and a barren woman all at the same time. One being on this side of the earth and another being on this side of the earth. That's nothing for Yahweh. And all we have to do is learn to humble ourselves. And who has Yahweh provided us today, even in our generations, to demonstrate to us with perfection there is only one Elohim, destroying all the falsehoods, the lies, the deceits, the writings that will plague our people and still plaguing our people unto this day. Even though Yahweh would send a messenger in our midst that we will learn this truth. But Yahweh was not finished, because watch what the ninth miracle that he will do in the book of 2 Chronicles. Let us turn there. See, we are all known by our works, the works that we will do. Talk is cheap. But what are you doing? What are your works? What works are you doing in the name of Yahweh? What have Yahweh sent you to do in His name, that the people could know that Yahweh is the truth? 2 Chronicles 21. So you can understand this. We're going to start at the first verse and watch what it says. 2 Chronicles 21 and 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Mishael, Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold, precious things, with fixed cities in Yehuda. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself, slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. And Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in 8 years in Jerusalem in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of Yahweh. Howbeit, Yahweh would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David. And as he had promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Yehuda and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him. And he rose up by night, smote the Edomites which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Yehuda unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken Yahweh Elohim of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Yehuda, called the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Yehuda thereto, and watched the miracle, the ninth miracle that will happen under this Elijah. Now remember, Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Elijah is not even on earth at this time. But watch what happened. Verse. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus is Yah Elohim of David thy father. A writing from Elijah. Elijah is not even on the earth. Elijah was taken up into heaven. But haven't we been showing you Yahweh worked wonders in the heaven and the earth? Haven't we been showing you there is nothing too hard for Yahweh? That you have to learn to make Yahweh your fear, Yahweh your dread. So sanctify Yahweh himself, and he will become your fear, and he will become your dread. Watch what it says. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus is Yah Elohim of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but has walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and has made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also has slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. And remember, Elijah was the prophet during the time of Ahab. Behold, with a great plague will Yahweh smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, Yahweh stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up in Yehuda, broke into it, carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, Yahweh smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, and what do two represent? Yahweh's name. And what month are we in? The second month, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, so he died of sore diseases. People made no burning for him, like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. In other words, no one had no desire for this king. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the scepters of the kings. No honor, no respect, no regard. And this man has such disdain for Yahweh. Yahweh had the prophet Elijah, who had been taken even off the earth, send this man a letter of his own destruction, his own demise from heaven. Because Elijah wasn't even on earth no more to give any man anything. This writing came from heaven, which was the ninth miracle. Now you might ask yourself, what is the tenth miracle of Elijah? Well, the tenth miracle is what Yahweh was seeing the return of Elijah to do. Did not we read it in the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter? It is the only miracle that is yet to be fulfilled. And what is it? Malachi, the fourth chapter, the fifth verse. Behold, I was seeing Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. This is before the day of Yahweh. And we read to you about the day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And yes, this is still yet to be fulfilled. It's still yet to happen. And it will. Sooner rather than later. For these are the signs of the last days. And we have more. But who's looking for Elijah? Who's looking for any messenger of Yahweh? Only the righteous. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.